I always swung and never hit. I made our fourth grade travel all-star team and had a batting average of zero and picked up a lacrosse stick the next season and said, I'm done.
How were you even on the team?
My thought exactly. I don't know if they needed someone from our team and I was the least offensive from our group of kids, but it became very clear that I needed a sport with a stick that I could use to hit people and lacrosse offered me that because I wasn't hitting a ball with it.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. We learn about the other violent side of Mike Golick Jr. That is Katie Nolan. Let's roll.
I sucked at baseball. What do you want from me?
How should we contextualize what Steph Curry is doing on the basketball court right now?
All right, Steph put up 49 points last night against the Sixers, a game that a team as bereft of talent as the Warriors are this year should not win, whether Ben Simmons plays or not. That was the sixth time this year that Steph Curry has made 10 three-pointers in a game. Nobody in NBA history for their whole careers has more than five. Like, that's what the run has been that we've seen recently. That's what it's been this season. And the context of this is what happens when it's one man against the world. Like, watching him is like watching somebody go out here and play double dragon. I have to slay everybody around me because I am by myself and all I have is one single solitary lead pipe. It doesn't matter how many people seem to be on him, he gets them off him. I don't know why people aren't literally guarding him from the parking lot because that is the only chance that it seems that you have right now. But the relevant context for this is, man, this is a lot of fun. The real MVP put up 47 and 15 last night in a double overtime game. That's Jokic. This has been cool for what it is, and you can make an argument that Steve Kerr should have allowed Steph to go like this all year long instead of trying to make his role players happy because Steve Kerr sees basketball through the lens of a guy who was a role player. But, man, this is a lot of fun, and it's okay just for it to be a lot of fun. We don't have to make him the MVP. We don't have to take this into some broad historical context. Enjoy it for what it is right now. Because, again, the only thing I could think of that was close to this was Steph Curry in the NCAA tournament in 2008 at Davidson. That's how bad the rest of his team is. That's how good he has been.
And I think that's something we all just kind of generally yearn for in sports, to see how much one person can weather. Bomani's references there made me think of Neo fighting all of the Agent Smiths in whatever Matrix movie that was right there. Like, that to us is always going to be an entertaining sports product. But Bomani's right about the MVP race. According to ESPN Stats and Info, there have only ever been four MVPs that came from a team that finished in the fourth seed or lower in their conference at the end of the year. The Warriors are a play-in team right now and all this, so we don't need to get too wild with all this. Relative to Steph Curry, the fact that these are some of the numbers historically best in his career, which includes a unanimous MVP, which includes all the championships they've won, like, that's enough. We can sit here and give this guy flowers like everyone always claims we don't do enough of with Steph and still come up ultimately short of saying the thing that's a bridge too far. We don't have to Julian Edelman Hall of Fame this thing for this season's MVP race just because we're all caught up in how awesome this is.
Yeah, the great thing about this is that it's difficult to talk about because we always, as sports TV people, tend towards the MVP conversation because it's like, if you're the best and you're doing the best, we'll talk about you in the MVP conversation. But that's almost too small of a conversation for what it is that Steph Curry is bringing to the table right now. And maybe it's just because we're coming off a year when our relationship with sports kind of had to change because there were question marks about whether it was going to be here or wasn't going to be here. The point is, Steph Curry makes it worth watching. Steph Curry makes it fun to watch. And it's also, Steph Curry is why basketball is not a book. It's not stat sheets. It's not something you look at and understand fully. You have to watch the games to understand the energy that Steph can inject into a crowd, into a game, all by himself, by doing absolutely insane things that we've never seen before, consistently continuing to do that and making people want to watch sports. I feel like naming him MVP is A, not something we're going to do, but B, it would almost be like we'd be doing it to let him know that he made this difference. He made this difference, and his difference is going to show throughout the sport for the rest of our lifetimes. I think we should be grateful that we get to watch Steph Curry play basketball, and I'm grateful that I don't have to talk much more about it because there isn't much more to say except just watch. Just watch and you'll see.
I don't know about that him not getting the MVP thing. I was watching The Jump the other day, and I just watched people over and over again talk themselves out of Jokic as MVP. The two best players in the NBA this year have been clear. Jokic and Embiid. Embiid has missed all those games. This means that this is probably going to wind up going to Jokic. With the numbers that he's put up, I don't understand what the argument is against him, but everybody seems to be seeking out why it is that we can't give him this. And it's so weird because y'all love white dudes. Like, normally, if there's a white dude in sniffing distance, somebody's going to give it to him. There's the white dude in Dallas that you're so insistent upon overrating at every single turn. Why can't you get behind this white guy? What did this white guy ever do to y'all? It makes absolutely no sense to me. He ain't very fast. He ain't that quick, but somehow it finds out a way to do it. Normally, sports writers love that. That's the white dude of your dreams. It's all the stuff you like about Luka. Why can't you do it for this guy who is literally unlike any player I have ever seen? That's no shade to Steph. I'm just telling you, the MVP should be clear. This should be a non-discussion. But I guess with what this season has been, we had to manufacture one. So people are going to try their damnedest to take the MVP away from Jokic. Please stop. Let's just appreciate Steph for what he is, and we don't have to rob this dude. What a bizarre country we live in where I have to make this point.
I'm shocked you're making it, but I'm proud.
I am too. This is the Bruce Springsteen of storylines for these sports writers that they apparently don't want to pick up.
Just all the fundamentals. Don't you guys love fundamentals?
Is Gonzaga the new Duke?
So, Mr. Producer Man, what exactly is this that you were trying to say? Because the reason we are having this discussion is because Chet Holmgren, the number one player in America, committed to go to Gonzaga. As I'm saying this, the producers will put a picture of him up on the screen, and you will see that he is a big white dude, which makes me come back to say, what exactly is it that we are trying to say when we are saying that they are the new Duke? Come on now. You know that is what you were thinking. Here's the thing about it, though. Number one, it's kind of hard to be the new Duke because even pre-Krzyzewski, Duke had been to four Final Fours, right? Krzyzewski got there in 81. They went to the Elite Eight in 80. They went to the championship game in 78. This is a program that has gone far back in terms of their success. But then it turned into something different. And at the height of Duke's run, I want to say they made the Final Four 7 out of 9 years. Gonzaga's only gotten to the Final Four twice in this whole 22-year run where they made the tournament every single year. At the same time, those two Final Fours have come since Duke last went to their Final Four. You could make an argument that aside from that 2015 national championship, Gonzaga has been better than Duke in the course of the last 10 years. They are what they are now, but they are at the place now where they can get great players. Not just guys that they can coach up, but legitimately great players who are from places that have a lot of white people, right? Like, they got this Minnesota thing cracking right now. They are not at the point yet where they can go get Elton Brand, right? Where they can go get Corey Maggette, where Duke had been, or the guys that they can get right now. They're not there yet, but they can consistently get very good players and then add on some one-and-done caliber guys on top of it. And maybe that will take them from the level of perennial tournament contender to perennial Final Four contender, because they're still not quite that yet.
But the thing that I think is interesting about Gonzaga is that you're right, they're not that yet, but you can see a path to where they could eventually get there. Because the thing about Gonzaga is that they were smart about the way that they turned themselves into this program. I feel like they built it in a very smart way. Like, they focused on recruiting locally, then they went internationally before they came back and are now able to do it on a national scale. And like, we've talked about this before, we talked about it during the tournament, how they've just sort of been there consistently. I know I've said I have picked Gonzaga to win every year that I've ever filled out a bracket just because I love a letter Z. I think it's a nice, fun wild card. But here we are looking back on it. What, 22 years in a row that they made the tournament, that there was a tournament? Obviously, last year was an interesting situation that happened. But it just feels like they've been consistent. And now we have a number one prospect recruit that is saying that he's always known Gonzaga to be a school that's in the tournament, which is just a perspective that those of us that have been, you know, around longer and aren't young anymore don't have. And it's fascinating to think that that is how they're seen by kids coming up now. So you could see it being possible. It feels like they're building in a very logical way, that they know that this could be their moment, but they're not getting too caught up in that and buying into their own hype. It seems to me, a person who knows nothing, that it's slow. There's like a method to it and it's consistent. And I feel like that is their best argument for where their program could go.
Katie, I'm glad you brought up perspective, because I've always said for a group of people, Ice Cube is going to be the guy from Ride Along. At some point, Alex Rodriguez so becomes weird. The dude that dated J-Lo, according to Anthony Edwards. And in this case for Chet Holmgren, all he knows is Gonzaga as a power. And you get to this point, you're right. The best thing they've done is build it consistently enough to where everyone coming up now doesn't know any better in this spot. And Gonzaga's in a spot they have no business being. Like, this is, oddly enough, as we've digested all of this Super League conversation from our friends over in European soccer, this seems to be the number one argument that comes up is the perennial powers weren't always the perennial powers in a lot of these instances. And for a team like Gonzaga to now will themselves in a situation where we're even having this topic bar is a testament to what they've done and the space they've created now, where once you see this, it's the Alabama factor. If you keep netting these results and you show these recruits, you can go one and done and go to the NBA here. This is a winning begets winning situation that'll probably keep it this way for a while.
And let's also be clear about something. They're getting people to come to Spokane. Like, coming to Duke, I wouldn't want to go to Duke, but Carolina's right down the road. North Carolina Central right there. I can make a life out of that. Ain't no North Carolina Central in Eastern Washington. There's no equivalent to that whatsoever. And they getting dudes to show up. Like, that to me is perhaps the most impressive thing, because ain't nothing cracking up there but Gonzaga, and they're still seeming to get guys. Now, I would definitely be a one and done if I went there. I mean, I might not be going to the league, but I'm going somewhere else.
I've never been to Spokane. That maybe it's popping, Bo. You don't know.
We would have heard.
Up next on HQ.
The thing that used to annoy me the most when I would try to watch basketball with my mama growing up, she'd always ask, who was the home team? And the answer was always the same. The team wearing white. It was always the same. I don't know what the hell to tell her anymore, because I got to stop and figure it out. I got to read the baseline now.
Do you question if the Bucks were robbed?
All right. Ooh. They had a good game here between the Suns and the Bucks. The Suns, second in the West, really good. Chris Paul, like, cementing all kinds of legacy stuff and proof that he makes teams into winners. And nobody's really paying attention. Anyway, here we are at the end of overtime. Devin Booker hit a big shot to send the game into overtime. Jrue Holiday's got the clamps on him, and they called a foul on that shot. Now, if you were like I was watching this game, totally confused as to where the foul was, right there. They are saying that P.J. Tucker hit his elbow, and I do think it's a foul only because it's the elbow. That level of contact anywhere else, and we're not calling a foul. But there it was, and I know what P.J. Tucker's mad about. If he gonna get called for a foul, damn it, he gonna get his money's worth. He can't believe he got janked on something that cheap.
The contact was made, right? I can make that argument, but you don't see it have much of an effect. This is the thing that always bugs me about these, was this a foul or not? It's like, yeah, it could have had an effect, but it didn't seem like it did, but I don't know, and I don't want to get yelled at, so whatever.
Yeah, no, they got completely and utterly robbed on that one. The thing that continues to be most confusing to me about this NBA season is whatever the hell's going on with the alternate jerseys. It took me like 10 seconds into a highlight where I knew the teams were playing to not realize that wasn't the Dallas Mavericks in that spot. So that's kind of where I keep coming back to in all of this. This is one of those moments where I feel myself progressively getting older, because I looked up instead of going, oh, how cool and fun, to this is kind of confusing me now, and I can't stomach all
of it. Dog, the thing that used to annoy me the most when I would try to watch basketball with my mama growing up, she'd always ask, who was the home team? And the answer was always the same. The team wearing white. It was always the same. I don't know what the hell to tell her anymore, because I got to stop and figure it out. I got to read the baseline now.
My mom texted me the other day. My mom texted me the other day and was like, I'm watching the Red Sox. They're wearing yellow. It was like, well, so it's a marathon thing. And it's capitalism, mom. It's capitalism. We need more jerseys. Buy more jerseys.
Do you question whether this should have counted as a birdie?
All right. Siwoo Kim is here putting for birdie. We're going to go ahead and get this started because you'll understand.
Kim from just off.
Okay.
Going.
Really good line. Oh, no.
Oh.
All right.
Oh. That's exactly what my face would have been. Like, are you kidding?
I'd be stomping on the ground.
I feel like that's why you pulled the pin out.
Now, you might be wondering, like, why would this be a birdie since it, like, didn't, you know, go in?
Yeah, just give me one little
stare
turn
at it. Give it some dirty looks.
This is hope now. Hope right here. Because, like, you could just come up here and tap it in. Nope. Yeah. I don't know if he's talking to it. Does he want to go home? Isn't that what they say in that movie I've never seen?
They're not watching Grass Grow, folks. They're just waiting for that ball to fall.
We've talked about this before.
That's the only part of my golf game that's good is my ability to quote Happy Gilmore.
Wait a minute. Is Matt Kuchar still in the league? I didn't know he was still out here.
Yeah.
Is that like his caddy or is that his new job?
Yeah. Just got to go ahead and tap it. Unless that ball's moving.
What?
They're like, yeah, you just got to go ahead and tap it in. He's like, I ain't got to do a damn thing.
Yeah.
This is like if an alien came to Earth and watched this clip, would be like, and now what is this sport again?
In most circles, hold on, is it moving?
It is.
Wait.
Here we go. God. But apparently the rule says you only get 10 seconds on something like that. Otherwise, it becomes another stroke. So he did not get a birdie for that. He got a par on that one. And I feel like he should have got a birdie.
That just means what that rule means is that he just wasted a lot of time on the for himself, also on this broadcast. If you knew that after 10 seconds it was going to be a stroke, just tap it in. Just tap it in.
Give it a little tappy. I'm just going to keep quoting parts of this. It's all in the hips. I'm going to keep quoting this movie that Bomani's never seen. And because I just realized I wore these blue light glasses for this show, use it to dramatically take them off to make the point that this is the biggest bunch of haterific nonsense. I'm sorry. If you're not going to enforce any sort of pace of play things on Bryson DeChambeau and what he's doing to the game of golf, despite everyone's complaints, you're really going to sit here and tell me we can't wait the few extra seconds. A minute and 20 out of our life on that golf course isn't worth the payoff of that moment, of seeing what all of us live for there. Some gust of wind, or apparently standing over and creating a shadow that can help send this ball to its home.
If you stand and create a shadow on the grass that can cause it to move at such an angle just enough that it pushes the ball. This is real. It's a real piece of information we were given, and you can tell that because I'm wearing glasses, so it has to be real. That apparently is a thing you can do. I feel like we either go the complete opposite way and be like, you get as much time as you want. If that thing goes in, that counts. Or just like, don't let us wait longer. Somebody should be like, 10 seconds is up, tap it in.
Tonight, 7:10 p.m. Eastern, Blue Jays and Red Sox.
All right, now we are going to take you to a clip of the White Sox and the Red Sox, and the White Sox had a position player pitching and Marwin Gonzalez at the plate.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Oh, oh.
Oh, boy.
Drop them out. Why didn't you go out there? Wow, it looked like it didn't even hurt.
Did that hit him?
Like, technically a play happened here?
Did that hit him?
You know what's remarkable is everyone got paid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There it is. Yeah. I guess I see it.
Everyone got paid for that.
That's a good advertisement for baseball.
Yeah. Katie, you intrigued?
I mean, I was going to say yes. Saw the clip. No, here's the thing. I'm really solidly on the fence about this one. I love the Red Sox. I'm very upset with them for multiple reasons. They're obviously doing well. Have won 7 out of their last 10. I'm just about to give this team my heart again. But then the day that I was about to do it, Mookie Betts was trending for being awesome for not the Red Sox. So I'm not there yet. I'm like one cool thing away from finally reigniting my love with this team.
They did give him away, didn't they? Go look, you intrigued.
I am intrigued. There is nothing, and I mean nothing, that gets me to run to TV to watch baseball. No perfect game, no hitter. Quite like a position player having to go out there and get on the mound, because it almost always gives us something like this. So hell yeah, all in.
Streaming on Hulu, Sasquatch.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone doesn't have to be out in the woods too long to feel like I might not belong here and something is going to take me out.
This Sasquatch
I've been
talking?
A journalist for about 25 years.
Did somebody commit a crime story there?
I was working on Sasquatch a Sasquatch farm up in Northern California. I remember a guy telling me about 3 bodies torn to pieces. He said a Bigfoot killed those guys. A Bigfoot murdered 3 guys on a dope farm.
Hell yeah.
What?
I'm just trying to imagine somebody up there smoking all that fresh weed and then seeing the Sasquatch footprint on the ground. And that sounds like one of the more traumatic experiences that anybody could ever experience. Happy April 20th. Here's Bigfoot. Katie, you intrigued?
Oh, I forgot it was April 20th. I guess the answer then is yes. I don't understand what this is about. The clip with the modified voice made it sound like we're hearing potentially from Sasquatch. But I will say there, it sounds like there's other reasons that it might have just been a human.
Well, once we found out it was a dope farm, now I understand why it is that somebody might not want to identify themselves. Mm-hmm. At first, it was very confusing. Golic, you intrigued?
I am intrigued, and now that you pointed out that this is a dope farm, and I'd imagine we all know what was going down up there, that might have just been a human footprint in a spot that they forgot about, and now all of a sudden we have this wonderful documentary about Bigfoot, which I'm appreciative of. As someone who used to watch those weird shows where people went tree knocking and tried to hunt Bigfoot.
I do have to say that if I knew that that was a dope farm and I was particularly mischievous, I would totally come up with a Sasquatch footprint,
yes!
Knowing that it would just rock somebody's world.
You wear a big shoe.
All right, that is our show. Check out Katie Nolan's podcast, Sports. It has a question mark. Golic is on Chanae and Golic, 4-7 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
And Bomani Jones. Listen to The Right Time with Bomani Jones. It sounded like you were going to do it yourself, so I panicked.
Nah.
Leave him a 5-star review, because if you don't, he's inclined to think you were a hater. It also sounds way less cool when I say that.
I was like, you're really jumping in there. It's my corner. I promote Bomani. You back up.